I really feel like I need to tie up the loose ends to the third temple so that you, I'm going to write a huge book. This is my next big book, will be the third temple. And because people need to understand it. You don't understand, folks. Listen to me. You don't understand how many of your Christian friends are waiting for a third temple to be built in Jerusalem. You don't understand. All of Christianity is waiting for that. And they're all wrong. And they need to know that this temple is being built as we speak. The altar is ready to go. And the Father is finishing up the work of the first parts of that temple so that he can rebuild it. When will the third temple be built? During the millennial reign. And the reason people don't know about the third temple, because they don't understand the millennial reign. The whole purpose of the millennial reign is to build the third temple. And so what's happening in our day is the furniture for that temple is being built. The menorah is being relit. Truth is marching on. The altar is being built, Sister Maxine. And we're getting ready to offer perfect sacrifices unto Yahweh with our dancing and our worship. And so tonight we're going to deal with what everybody goes to when they hear me on Facebook talking about there will be no third temple. They always go to the book of Ezekiel. And they talk about a temple that Ezekiel saw being built during the millennial reign. And when you read these chapters, there's many of them. It does seem to tell us that there will be a physical temple in the millennial reign. So we're going to deal with that tonight. Let's start at Zechariah chapter 6, verse 15. Zechariah 6 and 15. Let's start at verse 14. No, let's start at verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. I like that one too. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, what is another word for the house of Yahweh? The temple. He will build the temple. The third and final temple will be built by whom? The branch. Who is the branch? Yahshua. Now, why is he building this temple in the millennial reign? Because as you're going to find out today, on the eighth day, after the seventh day, Yahweh himself will come and dwell in that third temple built by his son, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's going to get so good tonight. It's going to get boring, but it's going to get good after that. Hallelujah. Verse 13, yes, he will build the temple. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. Where's the throne? In the what? Temple. And the council of peace will be between them both. Oh, wow. And the crowns will be to Halem, to Tobiah, Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, a sign of honor, and to Zachar in the house of Yahweh. These are all Zadokites. And I love verse 15. And they who are afar off will come and help build the third temple. Hallelujah. Oh, who is they that are afar off? It was you, beloved, when you was aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. Hallelujah. At one time you were a Gentile. Or you thought you was what? Afar off. But when Yahshua comes to build the third temple, he's going to have some help. You're not getting it. I said he's going to have some help. When it comes to build that third temple, he's going to have some help. You can turn the house down. Leave my monitors right where they are. He's going to have some help for the third temple. Let's keep reading. Then you will know, monitor please, then you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. And this will surely be, thank you, if you will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Father. The only people that's going to help build this third temple is those that have diligently, not just obeyed, but diligently, understanding the why more than the how. Drinking the or eating the meat of the word rather than drinking the milk of the word. Knowing the intent of the law more than the law itself. Amen. Let's go to the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 6. And I'll let you be seated right after that. If I could get a little water, if anyone would grab me one, please. Oh, thank you, thank you. Haggai chapter 2. Let's go to verse 6. You need to remember these scriptures. They're very good. For this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the most desired things of all the heathen will come. Now, what does that mean? Now, look, you're just reading that verse. Do you have any idea what it means? I really want you to. Haggai chapter 2. Now we're in verse 7. He's going to do what? Shake the nations. What is the nations always a euphemism for? The Gentiles. When you hear the word nations, that's goyim, which means Gentiles. Diane's telling me, keep going. She knows. That now, Yahweh said, I'm going to shake the Gentiles. And do you know what's going to fall out of the Gentiles? Read it. The most, verse 7, the most desired things of all the nations will come. I'm going to shake the nations right before the end of time. And the things that I desire, Yahweh, which is my lost tribes. The most desired thing, Sister Deborah, is going to fall out of them trees and come back home. That's you. That's you. That's you, beloved. He shook the trees and you the fruits that fell out of them. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to shake the Gentiles and the lost tribes are going to fall out. Hallelujah. Verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Amen. Verse 9, the glory of this last house, or this last what? Temple. Will be greater than the glory of the former temple. And in this place, I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. I want you to hear what he just said. There's only one final temple. And you know who it's going to be built by? Remember where we just read in Zechariah, those that are far off will come. We're reading the same thing in Hosea or Haggai. We're reading the same thing. I'll shake the trees and those that are far off will fall out and come and build the latter house. And it will be greater than the glory of the former temple. Do you know what time it is? It's shaking time. Time to shake, rattle, and roll, baby. God is shaking the nations. And you fell out. Woo. Turn to your neighbor and say, I fell out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Woo. There's only one final temple, the latter house. The latter house. It didn't say, notice it didn't say, for everybody that's waiting on the Jews to build the latter house, it didn't say the Jews were going to build it. Say it. it said those that fell out the trees is going to build this third temple. Hallelujah. Oh, call me a tree hugger. I'm not a tree hugger because I fell out the tree. My God, from Zion. You might be seated. Part 9 of the third temple. Hallelujah. When God gives you a vision or a dream to his prophets, and this is very important. Ezekiel was a prophet. Prophets are limited, Brother Michael Mahalik. Prophets are limited. We see through a glass darkly. What does that mean? Sometimes we don't know what we're seeing. No prophet has all of the revelation. None, Sister Callie, none. Ezekiel was a prophet, but you're going to find out tonight that he prophesied in part. What did Paul say? We prophesy. Why? Because we have something called the human mind that limits us to be able to give a full prophecy. Okay? I'll explain it like this. What if 30 years ago, 40 years ago, God gave me a prophecy and I said, all I can see is oogle, like ooga, ooga, oogle. I don't know what I'm seeing, but it's information and it's ooh and it's. And then 40 years ago, if someone would have told you, well, just Google it, you'd have slapped them. Yeah. What you mean, Google it? What Google? What you talking about Google? What you mean? It does sounds perverted. Go Google it. What you trying to Google? Amen. Because language changes with time. Prophecies are restricted to the man that gives it and what his human mind can comprehend. Okay? The Father doesn't have any men to speak through that have ever given a prophecy. Even Daniel prophesied about a statue and a head. He had to use what he was familiar with in his prophecy. Now, whenever the prophet said, I saw or I see it, that's impossible. Amen. You cannot see a spiritual event.
That's right. Come on. Wow. Come on. So he just thought it was physical.
I cannot see the Spirit of God falling, but I can see a vision of a tree with falling leaves. Okay? I can't see spiritual events. There's no way that I can see with the human mind spiritual activity without relating it to you in physical understanding. I'm trying to get somewhere. So when I tell you I saw, I've got to give you something that you can comprehend as to what I saw. Maybe I saw something that's unexplainable, so I've got to try to explain it in explainable terms. All right. So, whenever Ezekiel said he saw a third temple, he's telling you in physical terms what the Father was showing him in spiritual reality. And you need to get that before we can get started tonight. The third temple, according to Yahshua, has begun whenever he, the high priest, purchased it with his own blood. What did Yahshua purchase with his own blood? The church of God. What is the church of God? The house of Yahweh. What is the house of Yahweh? The temple of God. Yahshua purchased that temple and then went to Mount Calvary and laid down the cornerstone. Sister Callie, he became the head of the corner. Meaning, he's bringing together spirit and truth, Torah, and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He is the connector of this whole temple. You have to know that. He is building it, and he will complete it after the first resurrection. Notice what he's going to build the third temple with. Not with stones, but with living, resurrected stones. You will be dead, but in the twinkling of an eye, every stone he's ever needed for that building will come to life, and he will finish building this third temple with living stones. This is why John the Revelator did not see a temple in the book of Revelation, because the people were the temple. Now, however, when we get to Ezekiel, it gets mighty confusing. I want to show you, and I'm going to explain to you what Ezekiel is saying, if we all want to turn there. And now, this is going to be a verse by verse. Tonight's Bible study, you're just going to have to get with me. I've got to clear this up for people that have told me that Ezekiel's third temple is proof there's going to be a temple in Jerusalem. All right. Now, Ezekiel begins to talk about the third temple in chapter number 40. But before we get to chapter 40, I want to start at chapter 34. Now, why are we going to start at chapter 34? Because I want to show you how Ezekiel prophesied the last days, what they're going to look like, and how you can know that the third temple is being built right now. Now, we don't start the temple until chapter 40, but we got to go to chapter 34 for you to see, Brother John Call, what day you and I are living in. So let's go to 34. The first chapter, 34, is a description of the end of the ministry of false teachers or the false gospel. Before the third temple is built, let's go to chapter 34 and see what Ezekiel says. The word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the preachers. Yeah. Prophesy and say to them, this is what Father Yahweh says to the pastors. Woe to the pastors of Israel who feed themselves and they do not feed the flocks. You eat the fat, you collect your salary, you clothe yourself with the wool that the church provides you. You kill those who are fed, but you do not feed the flock. You keep lying to them. You keep petting them. Woe to you pastors, because this happens before the temple starts to be built. Verse number 4. The diseased you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed. You have not bound up the broken, nor have you brought back those who were driven away. You have not searched for those who were lost, but with force and with cruelty you have governed them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. He is talking about the entire Christian church. All of them. They were scattered from truth because there were no true shepherds. Verse 5, and when they were scattered, they became meat for the Gentiles and the beastly system of Rome. Yeah, they couldn't help but become Trinitarians. You didn't feed them truth. They couldn't help but be baptized in paganism. They couldn't help but keep pagan holidays. They couldn't help but eat what they wanted to eat. Because there was no shepherd. None. My sheep wandered through all the mountains. Verse 6. And up on every high hill they went from church to church. Looking for a shepherd. Brother John, are you okay? Bloody okay. Thank you, Lord. Listen, he said they went to every church looking for what, Sister Callie? Truth. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and no one sought for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. As surely as I live, says Yahweh, because my flock became a prey to Papa Pope. Because my flock is walking in ignorance and involuntary rebellion. They don't even know they're rebelling, y'all. They're not doing it on purpose. It's the pastor's fault. My flock became meat for all the nations. They started celebrating the holidays of those nations. Beastly systems, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds took their salaries and did not feed my people. Verse number 9. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. This is what he says. Behold, I am against the pastors. The Father's not against the church. He's against the pastors. And I will require my flock at their hands. The most dangerous job you can have is a pastor. And I will cause them, listen, now this is where we're at. Listen. Right before that millennial temple is ready to be built, chapter 34, before chapter 40. We've got a long way to go. Before that temple is built, I will cause those shepherds to stop feeding my sheep. Not all the sheep.
His sheep.
Woo! Hallelujah. Ooh, y'all didn't get. Just before chapter 40. I'm going to put a stop to you feeding my sheep. The ones that I've called, I'm going to stop you from feeding them sheep. Woo! Oh, yeah. I'm going. You know what? They're going to be listening, and they're going to say, uh-uh, that don't sound right no more. No, something's off. No, you know what? I'll see you later, alligator. Something in me won't listen to something in you. Because I know I heard the voice of truth. You cannot feed me anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I've got a parable for you. I kept telling everybody the birds have quit coming to my house. At one time, my backyard was a bird paradise. And I told Brother and Sister Kendrick and Brother Morgan, I said, my birds are gone. And it was so amazing. No birds. I'm talking about zero. And if any bird could see my backyard, they would want to be there. And I couldn't figure out where they went. Some people said, well, they left for the winter. I'm like, well, they over at Mom and Daddy's house, so they live in the same area I live in. Y'all wake up now. Wake up, everybody. I got a long way to go. You might as well shake yourself and just get with the program, okay? And then I noticed, Sister Callie, my bird feeders, two of them are filled with fungus or something. I don't know what it is, but something has rotted in those bird feeders. And I'm telling you what, them birds know the food is bad. They know, don't eat that food. Go to the other yard. Oh, it's tempting them to come, but they done spread the word on the bird wire. Don't eat that food. You'll get sick. There's coming a day when my people, you will not feed them anymore. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Where's the people? They're online. They know something is not good in the food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What verse was I in? 9? No. 10? No, that don't look right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, sorry. Verse 10. The shepherds will no longer feed, for I will deliver my flock from their lying preaching. From their what? From their mouth. What comes out of your mouth? Your sermons. What comes out of your mouth? False gospel. Before I build this third temple, I've got to shake the trees and get my people to fall out of Babylonian trees so I can have some help building the temple. You know, sort of when you're sitting there and you hear the preacher say the Sabbath is done away with, and then you turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 where it says there remaineth a Sabbath keeping for the people of God, and you're like, wait a minute, sir, what this, I think I'm going to eat out of here. I think I'm going to eat out of this book. I'm going to where the food is pure, the gospel is straight, the message is narrow. I'm going to find that good food. This happens before the third temple is built. Verse number, do y'all, I love that. That's my new favorite verse. I will deliver my flock from their mouth. I'm going to deliver you from Joel Osteen's mouth. Should I continue? I won't. I'll be good. Listen. That your words will no longer be meat for my people. That your sermons will no longer feed. I'll let you feed the whole church, but you ain't gonna feed my people. You're not gonna feed the ones that fell out of the trees. You're not gonna feed my flock. You're not gonna feed the eagles of God. The eagle won't eat nothing dead. Did you know the eagle won't eat nothing dead? The eagle only eats living food. God called you an eagle. He said, quit eating out of the garbage can. I'm setting you free from their mouths. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh. Verse 11, say to them, as surely as I live, says Yahweh, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous will not deliver him in the day that he transgresses. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor will the righteous be able to live because of his past righteousness in the day that he sins. Oh, maybe I am. But that was a good one too. Hallelujah. Woo! Verse 11, for this is what he says, I will both search for my sheep and I will seek them out. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
He
found.
Now do you know why Yahshua said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? That's the only reason I'm here. I'm not here for the world yet. I'll get the
the world during the millennium. When I build the third temple, I'll get them all. But for right now, I'm shaking the trees.
See, that's your problem in Christianity. You think he's trying to save the whole world right now. That's why you can't teach the church. You're trying to reach somebody that's prayed through 1,000 times. You need to find the lost sheep and train them and prepare them for the coming kingdom of God. Oh, if we can just get one more saved, you ain't never got nobody saved. John 6:44, no man comes unless the Holy Ghost does what he just said, seeks for them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse number 12. Just as the shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And will deliver them out of all the churches where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. Did y'all know your Bible said that? I'm going to deliver them from, because in that cloudy day, that light wasn't shining more and more into the perfect day. They was under a cloudy day. But he said that was the Roman Catholic day. That was the Protestant day. My people were always there. But I'm going to find them just before we build this third temple. Verse 13. And I will bring them out from the congregations. Y'all, he's not talking about sinners. He's talking about bringing his people out of the system. And I'll gather them from the countries. I'll bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a rich pasture. Rich. Have you ever heard this word and said, now that's rich? And their congregation will not be down in the valley with a bunch of chickens. It won't be down in the valley with a bunch of Baptists and a bunch of Catholics. No, this flock, I'm going to move them on up to the east side. They're going to finally get a piece of the pie. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm going to move them on up. I'll feed them on the high mountains of Israel. And they will lie down in a pleasant fold. I want you to see that in your mind. I want you to see you as one of Yahweh's sheep lying down in rich green grass, and then tell me what you're worried about. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. Amen. And I will cause them to lay down, says Yahweh. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up what was broken and will strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the pastors. The fat and the strong is the pastors. I will feed the preachers with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, this is what Yahweh says. Behold, I judge between sheep and lambs, between the rams and the he-goats. Does it seem too little to you to have eaten of the rich word of God? In other words, little sheep, do you take for granted the richness of the message that you have found? I want to tell you all something. The richness of this ministry is not the Home of Hope. Every church has one of those. If I could ever get your mind deeper, the richness of this ministry is what you're listening to right now. The message that we preach. Hallelujah. He said, do you consider it a little thing that you're eating of this rich pasture? Verse number 19. And my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that that you have fouled with your feet. Wow. He's talking to the pastor. You're feeding them junk. Verse 23, but I will set up one shepherd over them, and he will feed them. My servant David, that's a prophetic sign of Yahshua. He will feed them, and he will be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their father, not their shepherd, their father. Yahshua will be their shepherd. With my servant David, a prince among them. Now notice that word prince is referring to Yahshua. David, he was a son of David. All right. Now, verse number 25. I will renew with them the covenant of peace. I will bring an end to the evil, beastly, governmental, religious system they were a part of. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness. Oh, thank God. And sleep in the woods. Hallelujah. There's no peace in the cities. There's peace in the woods. I said, I'm going to call you out of that system, and I'm going to bring you to the woods. We're going to find a beautiful forest called the Forest of Truth, and you're going to lay down, and I'm going to feed you with this good word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, let's skip on down. Verse 22. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and lambs. See, you can be a sheep without being a lamb. Amen. Because a lamb don't wander off. A sheep does. All right. I will make them, verse number 26, and I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down, and there will be showers of blessings. Amen. And the tree of the field will yield her fruit, the earth will yield her increase, and they will be safe in the wilderness or the woods. They will know that I'm Yahweh when I've broken the chains of their yoke and delivered them from the hands of those religious pastors that made them slaves. How did they make you a slave, Brother Bruce? By telling you you couldn't live holy. You couldn't overcome sin. Nobody can do that. So just stay a slave to your addiction. Stay a slave to your sin. You can't ever be free. You got to walk in slavery. Wow. Verse 28, they will no longer be a prey to the heathen, nor will the evil beastly system devour them. But they will dwell safely, and no one will make them afraid. Amen. And I will raise up for them a planting of renown. Wow. And they will no longer be consumed with hunger for the word of God. I'm going to plant them a preacher with a planting that gives food continuously. They will never again hunger for truth. Hallelujah to God. Woo. Nor bear the shame of the heathen anymore. In this way they will know that I am their father and I'm with them. You can know God is with you when he brings you to truth. Now, verse 31. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your father. Now, that was chapter 34. That chapter is the end of the ministry of false teachers in your life. That's happening as I speak to you now. All right? Now, I'm not going to go into chapter 35, but chapter 35 is more judgment on the nations or the Gentiles, chapter 36, because all of this is going to happen progressively in perfect order before this third temple is built. Now, chapter 36 is more judgment. More judgment. Chapter 37, we get into whenever the resurrection of the dead, chapter 37. Now, this whole chapter is about Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. Okay? This is the resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this must happen before a third temple that Ezekiel saw is built. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 37. One verse I want to read there, but in verse 28. After he resurrects his first harvest, verse 28, and the heathen will know that I, Yahweh, sanctify Israel when my temple will be in the midst of them forever. Ladies and gentlemen, when we're resurrected, the third temple, the living stones like Lego blocks begin to click together. Everyone that's ever died, David, Jeremiah, Moses, everyone will resurrect. And there's the third temple. There's the living stones. Amen? But all of these things must happen before we get to that third temple. Now, chapter 38 is the Battle of Armageddon. That will be the battle that is taking place at the return of Yahshua. Whenever he comes and they turn their weapons on him, and the Bible said he will breathe and their skin will fall off of their bones. Now, chapter 39 is about the day of the Lord, which is the Sabbath day or the millennial reign. Now, if you read chapter 39, you're going to find out what that chapter is all about. The earth will be devastated. Armies of this earth will be destroyed. And Yahweh's holy name will never be profaned again. Matter of fact, let's read verse 7 of chapter 39. I love this. Now I want to show you why the name is so important. The name of Yahweh. I want to show you a prophecy that in the millennial reign, everyone will say the name Yahweh. Amen. You are the precursors of it. Amen. The restoration has begun with you. Let's read verse 7. I tell you what, verse 6, so you'll see the context. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among those that dwell in the islands, they will know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7. And I will make my holy name known in the midst of the people of Israel, and I will never let them get rid of my holy name anymore. And then the heathen will know that I am not God, but I am Yahweh. That's why I don't understand my Pentecostal friends and my Baptist friends. This name scares them to death. Just read your Bible. The millennial reign, do you know why they don't care about it? They don't know about the millennial reign. They've heard about it. They saw Brother Baxter do a chart and say, now this is the 1,000-year millennial reign. But nobody understands it. We do. I said, we do. Because there's a plant of renown growing right here. We know what it is. It's when every heathen, that means Gentiles, will all say the name Yahweh. Oh yeah. So why did he give it to you now? Because we're trying to build the altar for the third temple. We can't offer up the third temple till we get you ready. That's why he shook the trees to shake you out and to teach you his holy name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say this, and I never talk about the name much. I don't teach on it a lot. I want you to just check yourself. Check your mind. How many years you ate the lies of religion? To where when you hear the true name, and you're comfortable with the word God. That's okay with you. Yahweh sort of shocks your system. Yahoo?
Yeah. Come on. That's the truth.
I'm serious.
It really did. Yeah.
You're uncomfortable with it. You know why? You fed off the lies.
That's it.
God is not his name.
No. Title.
God is a title of Satan.
Yes.
It's a title of
Yahweh.
Yes.
It's a title of yourself. You're a God.
Amen.
Food is a God.
Yes.
Money is a God. So the word God, don't be uncomfortable when revelation is coming to you, because what's going to happen, here's what happens. When you mix truth in your belly with lies, you're going to throw something up. And you're going to start to get that uncomfortable, wheezy feeling that it's time to throw. You're either going to have to throw up truth or throw up the lies. And either one of them, you got to get rid of. You can't have both. Same thing with Christmas. Same thing with all of the pagan holidays, the pagan things. You cannot be part of the third temple if the name Yahweh is not precious to you. And then he sent his son in his name, Yahshua.
Amen.
Yah is my salvation. Yah sent me a Savior. I was baptized in the name that Yahweh sent a Savior. That's the name I was baptized in. I'm going to tell you what, there's people sitting in this room, you don't even know what you got. You don't know how rich it is. You take it for granted.
Amen.
You won't be here next year.
Amen.
I prophesy it. I said you won't be here because you don't know what you got.
Amen.
You're hearing the end time revelation of truth for this hour and you take it for granted.
Amen.
Shame on you. We've taught you the name of your heavenly Father. And you just, Yahweh wants to. Listen, you ought to honor that name more than you honor your wife.
Amen.
It's a holy name.
Amen.
And no, I'll just go ahead and say it. It's not Jehovah. And I'll be happy to teach a lesson on it for 4 hours. I'll prove to you there was no J anywhere in even the English language. It is Yahweh. You know the truth. Now embrace it and love the truth. Oh, but you know what some of my friends in the Christian church think? It really don't matter. All right. Then come up here. Come here, Justina. Come here. I pray for you in the name of Buddha. Be healed in the name of Hare Krishna. But no, why are y'all doing that? Names don't matter.
The name matters.
Names mean everything. Names is what seals a check. Names is everything. Learn to love these names of God, Yahweh, and his son Yahshua the Messiah. This is what they're going to say in the millennial reign. Hallelujah. How are you going to teach in the millennial reign when you don't even know his name? Now, we don't condemn nobody that don't know this. You use whatever name you have faith in until you see a further light. You do it by faith, and the Father will honor it. But here's what he said about ignorance. He only winks at ignorance. But when you're no longer ignorant, he don't wink at it no more. Callie, you'll overlook a child that don't tie the garbage bag just right. You'll overlook it one time. Michael, they're pointing at you, son. Why? Because he didn't know how to do it. But when you say, come here, son, here's how you do it. And the next time he don't, no more ignorance for you, no more winking. It's time for a butt whipping. Why? Because you're no longer ignorant. We've got people that sit under this ministry that I've taught you the name. I've shown you the name. I've proven it in your Bible, not mine, your Bible. And you need to embrace truth. And you need to understand how important the holy name of the Creator is. Amen. I didn't plan to talk about that tonight, but he must have. He called it his holy name, and yet you act like it's not important.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, let's just call him Uncle Bob. Learn to love his holy name, his holy Sabbath, his holy tithe. Anything that's his, holy. Holy. You should never let his tithe stay in your pocket any longer than it has to. Why? Because it's his. Now, I will make my holy name known, Ezekiel 39 and verse 7. I'm getting ready to close as soon as I get ready. Hallelujah. Now, all of these chapters are leading us up to the chapter that confuses everybody. Chapter 40. Now, I'm getting ready to teach you something now. Chapter 40, let's read. Verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city had fallen, in the selfsame day the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of Yahweh, he brought me into the land of Israel. Now remember, the land of Israel, remember what I taught you last week? That's still up there, that big circle, physical to spiritual parallels. Okay? The land of Israel that was physical in Ezekiel's mind was spiritual in God's mind.
Yeah, amen.
Perfect example. How did Moses build the tabernacle? After the pattern that he saw in the Spirit. Do you really think he saw in heaven a tabernacle that looked anything like his? No. But in his human mind, it was the best he could do. But it represented something greater. Something spiritual. So he says, I was brought into the land of Israel and set me up on a great mountain. I wonder what mountain that is. That's the fifth kingdom mountain in the book of Daniel that came rolling out of the mountain. That's that little stone that turned into a worldwide government. Oh boy, I got some elders coming up here that know this message. Hallelujah. Praise God. And on this mountain, a building of a city. Now, he said he saw two things, a building and a city. Now, hold tight, because I'm fixing to show you some things tonight that's going to make you grab your bloomers. Because when you see how perfect the word of Yahweh is, it is never failing. He said, I saw a vision. Why do you think I taught you earlier prophecy in part? I had to set this stage so you would understand. He said, I saw a vision, verse 3, and when he took me there, behold, a being whose appearance resembled bronze. In the book of Revelation, what did that being have? Feet like brass or bronze. You're going to find this is the exact revelation that John had. Just wait, I'm getting there. Whose appearance was bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand. There it is. Oops, there it is.
Same story. Come on.
Listen. John said, or Ezekiel said the same thing John the Revelator said. When you get to Revelation chapter 11, you're going to find he had the same vision. Exactly the same. He said, I saw a man with a measuring rod in his hand. What's he measuring for? We got to build this temple. We got to build this temple. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach it now. Woo! I love what he said in verse number 4. Then the being said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes, but listen with your ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying behind what your eyes can see. And I'm calling those that are watching me around the world tonight that believe this is talking about a physical temple in Jerusalem. I'm begging you, look with your eyes, but listen with your ears to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Woo. And fix your mind. Did you hear that? What does that mean? Understand. Look with your eyes, but don't look with your eyes. I've got to show you something in the physical that you've got to hear in the spiritual and understand in the spiritual. My God, heaven. Look, listen, and understand. Now, if he's just going to show him a temple, why not just look? No, look, listen, and fix your mind, your spirit mind. Understand what I'm about to show you. Woo, hallelujah. And fix your mind upon everything that I show you. For the purpose that I show this to you, that's why you were brought here. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. And behold, there was an adjoining separation around a temple. Now in the being's hand was a measuring rod. Now we're not going to read all of this. It's just too intense. But all the way through verse number. Through all the way to verse number. About 49. The whole chapter is measurements. The whole chapter. I'm going to tell y'all something. The only people that's going into this temple is those that measured up.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Let's see, how do you, what do you mean measuring? I'll show you. Y'all ready? I'll show you. It's real simple. You get a calendar.
That's it.
And you measure from the first day to the seventh.
Amen.
All you got to do is measure.
Amen.
Amen. What day the Sabbath day is. You got to measure up what you got on your plate, what you're eating. Anybody that has sat under my voice and ignored my message on clean food, you'll answer at the judgment.
Better measure your money. Make sure you get to them feast days.
Come on. You're playing church is all you're doing. Playing church. My words mean nothing to you. But my Bible said when Yahshua returned, anybody eating pigs is going to face the judgment. You know what's so funny about my preaching? Those that say they love it laugh at me in secret. I'm no dummy. You don't think I don't know your spirit? Oh, Pastor Bob, well, you know. No, you better know. Because it's the voice of the end time message. You better know who you're listening to. Oh, my God. You better know. My God from heaven. The whole chapter is the measuring of the temple. Everything was perfectly measured. Now let's go to chapter 41. We're getting ready to come to the end. Then he brought me to the outer sanctuary, the holy place, and measured it. And here he goes, measuring it. Now I want you to go to verse 8. And I saw the height of the temple was the same all around. For the foundations of the side rooms, even the structure with a reed of 6 uniting cubits. Now go with me, hold your hand right there. Go with me to Revelation chapter 11.
Now hold your hand right there. Hold your hand for Revelation 11. You're going to find the exact same angel.
Verse 1, everybody there? And there was given to me a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel said, rise and measure the third temple of Yahweh and the altar and all of its elements, which is the furniture. But the court which is outside the temple, leave it out. Don't measure it. Why? Because that's Christians. I'm not measuring them. I don't expect them to add up. I didn't shake them out of the trees. My God from Zion. I expect them to be in the outer court shouting and dancing and having good choirs and good camp meeting and good church. That's all I expect out of them. Don't measure them. They like having church too much. They can't be measured because they'll tell you they're working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Like you could work out your own salvation. Did you know your Bible don't even say that? I wish I had time to teach it to you. I will teach on it another day. The Bible don't say work out your own salvation. Anyway, all right. So go back. Oh, my Bible says it right here. No, it don't. You think that's what it says, but that ain't what it says. Verse number. And the holy city, they will tread underfoot 3.5 years. And I will give my two witnesses. See, the two witness ministry comes out of the measuring. He said, take all of my church, everyone that's believed on Christ, take them all. There's some in the 30-fold, outer court. Let them keep having church. Let them keep going to camp meeting. Let them keep doing their thing and ignore. They'll all pay to go to camp meeting and wouldn't show up for Passover if their life depended on it. He said, just let them alone. I love them. Leave them alone. Because I'm not planning on measuring them. But if I shook you out of the trees, I'm going to measure you. I said I'm going to measure you. Because I got a purpose for you, Brother Shane. And that purpose is to add up. Somebody say to get it together. I've got a plan for you. And it's more than churchanity. It's a sold out life of dedication to the work of God. Now run back over to Ezekiel. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. Go to chapter 42. Now I'm going to show you something. Chapter 42. Go with me. Let's skip chapter 42 because I don't have time. But all those measurements are all adding up. Go to chapter 43 now. verse 6. Let's start at verse 5. No, let's start at verse 1. Afterward, after what? After we measured everything.
Amen.
Did you hear it? After we measured the people. He brought me to the gate that faces towards the east. And behold, just like the first temple, there was a cloud and a fire. Just like the second temple, there was a cloud and a fire. The glory of God came in Solomon's temple to where they couldn't even stand up. They were all slain in the spirit.
Wow.
Listen, whatever happened in the first temple is going to happen in the third temple. Because I am Yahweh and I change not. And behold, the glory of the Father of Israel came from the way of the east. Do you know that's why we bury our dead towards the east? So they can see that glory when it comes. Go to any graveyard, they must bury them towards the east. So they can see that glory. Arabas, I don't even think nobody believes it no more. I'm going to be honest with you. But I believe it. I'll go to my grave believing it. I'll leave this faith for somebody behind me. Oh, hallelujah. His voice was like the roar of many waters. I think I heard that in the book of Revelation. And the earth was radiant with his glory. And the vision was like the appearance of the vision which I had seen when he came to destroy the city. And like the visions I'd seen by the river Chebar. And I fell down. But you don't believe in falling in church. Baby, how do you think you're going to stand when the presence of God comes on you? I'll stand. Of course you will. You're a rebel. Sister Ruth Heflin taught me how to pray for people. She told me the moment you lay hands on them, if they don't respond, immediately go to the next person. That's why y'all see me. I know when I come to lay hands on you, if you've already said I ain't going to fall, I know I don't come to you. That's why I don't come to you. That's why I don't come to you. That's exactly why. You know why? What's going on, Shane Sewell? Hallelujah. Get it off of you, son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the same way with speaking in tongues. If you say, I'm not going to, I don't care how much Holy Ghost comes on you, you're not going to. Why? Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You control your mind. The spirit of the prophet is the mind of the person. It's subject to your mind. When you see the man of God coming to lay hands on you, that is like God himself laying hands on you. You take that for granted? If you're ever privileged enough for Bishop Kendrick's hands to touch your head, you've been touched by God himself. Now, you know what's funny? Somebody watching me right now is being stupid, and they're saying, I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you this. What if Bishop Kendrick comes and brings you $100, and you go tell everybody, God just gave me $100, but I said he laid hands on you. That's God laying hands on you. Hypocrite. I can't stand dummies and hypocrites. Ain't no man like God. You need to just stop. God's always worked through a man, and he always will. He never changes, ever. 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 When you see that anointing come upon me or any of these ministers, you can tell by the change in the countenance. You know when something bigger than us has moved us. Not all the time, but you'll know it. When it changes, you'll know it. And when that hand touches you, you've got to respond. You've got to yield. You've got to let God move in your life. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Well, I don't want to be fake. You ain't got to be. You ain't got no choice. Let it hit you. Listen to me. Speaking in tongues, I could stop at any time I wanted to.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You've got that power.
Yes, sir.
You can stop a miracle in your life by not believing in it.
Amen.
You must believe in the things of God to receive from the things of God. You've got to believe. You've got to believe when you bring your tithe and put it there that that's not money, that's a seed. You've got to believe that. You've got to know it for it to activate. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said if you don't believe that, don't even pay tithes, because it doesn't say God loves a giver. He loves a somebody that believes that they're giving it to God. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Let's go in quickly. Let's get done now. Verse 6. Verse 5. Verse 4. And the glory of Yahweh came into the temple by the way of the gate which faced toward the east. Then the Spirit lifted me up, brought me to the inner court. Now, there's your 60-fold believers. And behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the temple. And I heard him speaking to me from out of the temple. And the being stood by me. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. And this is the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell. In the midst of the children of Israel forever. And never again will the house of Israel defile the holiness of my name. Son of man, you see this third temple that I've been measuring? It's among these people. That I'm going to bring my glory from the east and fill this temple, Arabasta. And they will become my people and I will become their God.
Amen.
Forever!
Oh, hallelujah.
You better know who you are! Go down to verse 9. And let them put their false God worship far away from me. And I'll dwell in the midst of them forever if they'll get rid of their Christmas trees. And their Easter rabbit lies. Worshiping your false gods. If you ain't going to be in this inner court unless you measure up. You got to be four square. The plumb line's got to fall in the middle. I never said nobody's going to hell for any of that. But I tell you where you ain't going, the inner court. You're not going to be among the Zadokites. I promise you that, darling. I'm not here to condemn nobody. I'm here to create a temple. I'm not here to condemn nobody. I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm here to build you up. I love everybody enough to tell them you've not heard the full gospel. I love them enough to tell them God's got more for you. God's got a position for you. Verse 10, Son of man, show the house of Israel. Here's what I love this. Show them so that they may be ashamed of what they've done. And then let them measure the pattern. Uh-oh. I remember a sermon called The Pattern Son.
That's right.
Is it still hanging on your door? He said, show them where they've come up short. Let them repent. And then let them measure the pattern. And let them look just like the pattern. Let them measure up to the Son of God, Yeshua the Messiah. Your pattern is Yeshua. But you know why you can't do it? Uh-oh. Because they told you the only way he did it, he was God. He wasn't really tempted of the devil. He wasn't really tempted. He wasn't really tried by the enemy. He couldn't have. Listen, that lie will keep you from measuring the pattern. You will reject the pattern. You will use the pattern as your cop out, not to measure it, not to come up to it, not to be like it. You better measure the pattern. I don't have no help in here. He didn't say condemn them. He said show them. That's all I'm doing. I'm showing them. I ain't condemning nobody. When I walk out this pulpit, I'll be your friend again. But right now, I don't have no friends. A preacher don't supposed to have no friends. A preacher's a shepherd that declares the truth. Now when I come out, I'll hug on you and I'll love on you and I'll give you a total smile. But in this pulpit, I must show you where you've been deceived by those lying preachers. Hallelujah. You better measure up to the pattern. Ooh, how hard is it to love the Lord your God with all your heart? How hard is it to keep the Sabbath day holy? How hard is it not to steal from your brother or your sister? If I read my Bible right, that same Holy Ghost, that same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus shall also dwell in you. That's if I read my Bible right. Now, unless he had a different Holy Ghost than I got, come on. Come on. The only reason he had it without measure is because he didn't mix no flesh in with it. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? You can have it that way too, but you got to kill your flesh. Good God from Zion, I'm trying to shut up and get out of here.
Come on.
Woo! Now, verse 11, he's going to show you how to find out if you've really repented, if you're really ashamed of what you've done. Some of you's not ashamed. Some of you are. Verse 11. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house or the temple. And the arrangement. Show them what I like. Show them how I want it all laid out. You know what he told Moses? Don't do anything I didn't tell you to do to that temple. Don't you build it no other way. You better arrange it the way I said to arrange it, or I won't show up in it. He told Solomon, put 99 palm trees outside. If Solomon would have put 100, God wouldn't have showed up. Show them the exits and the entrances. Yeah, there's only one way in. The pattern. And show them all the forms of the what? Did you say ordinances? And the what? Show them the laws of this third temple. And here's what he said. You'll know if they're really ashamed when you show them the laws. You'll find out if they've really repented when you show them the laws of this temple. You know what the lying tongue of the preacher says today? We want a church with no rules, only relationship. That's the most dangerous word you'll ever hear. And every preacher says it. You listen to me. Your obedience to the rules is the proof of your relationship. Wow. Go in a courthouse. And don't go by the arrangement of the courthouse. Yeah, it won't be no relationship. Won't be no relationship, Brother Shane Sewell. If you want a relationship with God, he said, show him the way I like it done in the house. Yeah. Why? Because I'm measuring them. I know y'all getting tired. I'm almost done. Y'all can go home and do your thing in just a minute. Write these in their sight that they may keep the whole form of it with all of its ordinances. Verse 12, this is the law of the temple. On top of the mountain. And the whole area is holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. What is the law of the temple? The pattern is the law of the temple. Why? Because he is the Torah in flesh. The law of the temple is still Torah through Yahshua the Messiah. Now verse 16, and now we get to the good stuff. The first thing after they repent, verse 16, the first thing they built was what? The altar. What did I teach you last week? What did I tell you? The first thing that's going to be built in this temple is the altar. But I want to show you something now. The holy altar was 12 cubits long and 12 wide, being four square on all of its sides. Did you notice that? 12, 12. Then turn with me, hold your finger right there, flip over to Revelation 22. Yeah, there it is. This is the, I'm going to prove something to you. I'm going to show you that Ezekiel's temple is the new Jerusalem. That's what I'm fixing to show you. Revelation, let's do, maybe it's 21. 21, there it is. There it is. There it comes. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city will be four. What city? The New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Is what? Four?
Square.
Square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city. And guess what it measures up to, children? 12 by 12.
Amen.
And what is 12 times 12? 144,000. You ain't getting it. I promise you, you ain't getting this. Listen to me. Woo. If you're going to be in the altar, you got to be in the 144,000. You got to measure up 12 by 12. That's the pattern. That's the pattern of the overcomer. What Ezekiel is seeing in his vision is the new Jerusalem. Not a temple, because the temple, do you know why there's no temple in the New Jerusalem? Because the New Jerusalem is the temple. My God from Zion. And the New Jerusalem is not a place, it's a people. It's not a city, it's a lady. It's a people. Now you see what I talked about, rich food? What I just told you right there, that the New Jerusalem is not a city, you won't hear that in no other church in this nation. You know, I'm telling you, there's food in this house. Do you know why? Ain't nobody, Brother Vaughn, when I get to that New Jerusalem, no, that New Jerusalem better get to you. Because you're supposed to be the new Jerusalem.
That's right.
When those two arms lock together, with those two four square, you've created the new Jerusalem. You can do it here on earth where two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm already there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm trying to shut it down. Verse number 26. I wish I had time to read all these to you, but we don't. 7 days they will make an atonement for the altar and purify it. 7,000 years. We're going to purify the altar. All the way from David, Moses, Noah, Abraham, Seth. Not Seth. The other one. We're gonna sanctify all of them. Amen. For 7,000 years. And they will consecrate themselves for 7,000 years. Who? The Zadokite priests that work the altar.
Amen.
That's you, Sister Goble. That's you. You're going to consecrate yourself for 7,000 years. And when these days have been accomplished, verse 27, on the eighth day, my God, the last great day, on the eighth day of the feast, on the eighth day, and from then on, that's called eternity, children, from then on, the priest will offer your burnt offerings on the altar, your peace offerings, and listen. Then, notice, listen, you're not hearing me. Oh God, help me now.
Come on.
You're not hearing me. That last line says, then will I accept you all.
That's right.
I can't accept you all until your priest, that's what it said.
Oh,
read that verse for me because I'm about to shout. I feel it. Read it one more time. Ah, on the eighth day, all of you will become my people and I will become your God because of your priest. And he's not talking about Yeshua. You shall be kings and priests upon the earth. God from Zion. Woo. Rich pastures. Somebody say rich pastures. That's where you're sitting right now. In rich pastures. Oh. Woo. The purpose of the temple is to shine a light to the whole world.
And when these days are expired,
the 7 days when they're over, 7,000 years are over. Woo-hoo-hoo.
It shall be that upon the eighth day,
on the day, that's the last great day, that's the great white throne judgment, that's when the message is given to the whole world. Listen.
And so forward, the priest shall make you your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God Yahweh.
I will accept you all because of them.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because the first fruit got holy. It'll make the whole lump get holy. Do you know who you are? Do you understand why you can't be in this church arguing with one another, wasting time on junk? We've got a temple. We've got an altar to build. We've got a destiny in God that's greater than anything you're dealing with. On the eighth day, I'm going to accept them all. Why? Because you was willing. What was that? But what was that burnt offering, Brother Vaughn? Oh, darling, you're looking at the burnt offering. I'm a priest,
and I let him burn me with holy fire every day, so I don't talk back to you when you talk to me, so I don't hurt you when you hurt me. I burn on the altar so that I can be part of the temple that's going to save all of mankind. Woo! You think Yahshua was the only sacrificial lamb? No, I sacrifice daily to show the love of God to hateful people, to show the love of God to those that would despitefully use me. Burn me up! Burn me up so that I can bring a peace offering to my God. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing in me. Oh, yes. I feel that river now. Let's close things, shall we? Skip over to the last chapter. No, chapter 44. Read that for me, verse 15. Tell me who's going to... Come on, y'all. I'm fixing to go home. Listen, read verse 15 of that next chapter for me. Come on.
But the priest...
Hold on. What priest? Brother Vonnie just said, I'll accept everybody because of your priest. He wasn't talking about no Catholic priest. He wasn't talking about no Baptist preacher. Tell me who he's talking about.
The Levites, the son of Zadok.
Not all the Levites. Only
the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord Yahweh.
You hear me. I want you to hear this well. There is a group of people in the millennial reign that will be allowed entrance to headquarters. The sons of Zadok. The ones that kept the charge. The ones that wasn't trying to be saved. They was trying to be sanctified. Did y'all know that in the millennium only the Zadokite priests will be allowed into the throne room? 100-fold. 60-fold. That's all. That's it. So when you hear people say, I can't wait to get to heaven and dance around the throne, you're not going to be allowed in there, darling. No. Only the Zadokites. Who are the Zadokites? The ones that didn't go astray like the rest of Christianity did. They stayed with the commandments. They stayed with the charge of God. Everything. They kept them. Now we're closing. I don't have time, but let's go to the last chapter, 47, and we're done. I love this. This is my favorite part now. I know y'all tired, but you got to stay with me through this last part. Oh, there's people watching at home right now that's being fed. There's people at home right now that says, I'm finally hearing the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 1, afterward, after he built the altar, he brought me back to the door of the third temple. And behold, there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. Does anybody remember that water from the book of Revelation? That river? I'm telling you, it's the same vision. I'm telling you, it's the same vision. What Ezekiel is seeing is not a millennial temple. He's seeing the new Jerusalem. That's right. Now go look in the book of Revelation. Out, where did the river in Revelation come from? The throne of God. Where's the throne? In the temple. Ezekiel's seeing the same thing. Here's what he says. There was water flowing out. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing in me. Toward, why do you think
He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Don't you understand now? There's a river in the temple. Woo! And out of your innermost being, that river's going to flow out of your mouth. Verse 2. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me to the outside facing the east. And behold, the water was flowing on the right side. And as the man went eastward with the measuring rod in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And that led me through the waters that came up to my ankles. Here's what Ezekiel's seeing. Are you ready? Yahshua began building this third temple 2,000 years ago, 3,000 almost. He has released a measure of the river every 1,000 years. Watch this. Watch what's fixing to happen. He said, I saw river coming out of the church, but it wasn't waters. It wasn't enough waters to carry the church through the tribulation. It wasn't enough water or revelation to carry them. He said, but then I looked. The next verse. 4. And then again he measured off 1,000. And that led me to the water that came to my knees. Verse 5. He measured off 1,000. And it was a river that I couldn't walk through. For the water had risen deep enough to swim in. A river that could not be walked through. But it would be a river that would carry us over to the other side of the tribulation. There's a river that's not only flowing from the dragon's mouth, but there's a river flowing from the temple of God, the people of God. Verse 7. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, guess what there was, ladies and gentlemen? Same thing as Revelation. Same thing of Revelation. I saw trees. And then he said to me, these waters flow toward the east, and they go down into the desert and out to the Dead Sea. And anywhere it flows, what does waters always represent? People. Masses of people. Anywhere this river flows, the people will be healed. Verse 9, I love it. This is the millennial reign. And it will be that every living creature that moves, in every place that the river flows, will have eternal life. Hallelujah to God. They were dead, but in the millennial reign, when this temple is completed, the river will flow forth from the temple, and it will heal everyone on the whole earth. It'll heal every drug addict and every alcoholic. It'll heal every demon-possessed man or woman. It'll heal every sick body. It'll heal every tormented mind. It'll heal everything that's ever been sick. But we got to build the temple first. Can I show you what's wrong with the divine healing message? Can I show you what's wrong? You're trying to heal the people without building the temple. You're trying to have healing campaigns while breaking the Sabbath. You're trying to heal the sick while the temple is in disarray. The altar's not built, and you want to heal everybody. That healing will last them until that mental control is over the next day when they thought they got... When that crowd manipulation is over and they're right back to where they were, it's because it was all a circus, a sideshow. If none of you ever get healed, Sister Diane, if you never get healed, I want to get you into the temple of Yahweh. Do you hear me? I don't care who he heals or who he don't. I've got to get into the temple. Because where the water flows, everyone will be healed. There will be, listen, you're gonna love this one. And there will be a very great multitude of fish. Who are fish? People! When this river comes forth from the temple, it's going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And the fish that you've been trying to catch now will be caught on accident then. Because that river's going to catch them all. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Brother Vaughn, I'm worried about my lost loved ones. God's got a plan for them. He's going to catch them all. He's going to catch them. I said, he's going to catch them. That river's going to flow. Somebody said that old song, I don't even like it anymore now that I know truth. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus, till I can get my loved ones in. No, come on, Jesus, so you can get them all in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.